Well, we got a bunch of people still coming in, so we're going to wait a moment or two to have them come in. Maybe Seth, take that down just a little bit. Thank you. Well, good morning and welcome to Zion, everyone. Whether you're here in person or joining us on Zoom, I'm glad that you've chosen to worship with us here this morning. The final part of the worship series that Steve is preaching on is God Sends. So where is God sending you? Where is God sending me? We are sent by God to love others and to be the hands and feet of God in our world. How will we do that and what will it look like? When I was a child, I might have thought that God sending me somewhere would mean I'd go to another country to be a missionary. I actually had a fear of that for a long time when I was a kid. I understand now that God sending me might mean that I'm talking to my neighbors or praying for a situation that isn't very close to me. It might mean that I'll be helping out someone in need. Some people at Zion have been sent to be part of ministries of the work of MCC or Bridging Cultures or the Canby Center, or some other ministry perhaps not familiar to all of us. We also have needs right here as our church continues to provide ministries within the congregation. We have most, but not all of the Sunday school teachers in place to begin a new Sunday school year next Sunday. The Zion Leadership Table is seeking persons to lead our commission groups and to be members of those commissions. You have been encouraged to nominate persons on the Elder Board, and hopefully some of you will agree to serve if nominated. So we have many ways to be sent by God. How will you be the hands and feet of God in our world? I'm looking forward to what Steve has to share with us this morning. If anybody has announcements, come on forward. I have a couple that I want to share. We are going to be having communion this morning, and so maybe on your way in, if you didn't get one of those little cups, maybe get one during, I don't know, some other time before we start communion. And I picked up one up, and I thought, well, where's the bread? I guess it's in there. It's on top, so it's all together. It's a package deal. So, and those of you that are at home, you might, you know, get some juice and bread or something to partake communion with us. There's lots of details in the bulletin this morning about the MCC sale, the relief sale. As we announced last Sunday, it is going to be online, and we got a lot of things that are going to, we have a lot more things online than we did last year. We don't need any more general items or quilts. We have quite a few of those things, but we would certainly still accept things that we call experiences. It could be tickets to an event or meals that somebody wants to provide or overnight stays at a place. Those kind of, we're still looking for a few more of those things. But other than that, we're really doing pretty well. You can contribute to MyCoins count by putting your spare change and bills in the bucket at the back of the sanctuary. And again, there'll be more announcements and things about the MCC sale. It happens on October 9th. Officially, but the online things will be happening before then. You're encouraged, if you haven't done it already, to complete your nominations for elders by this evening. You can email your nominations to Jody in the church office. You don't need to use the official form. You could just send her an email with your nominations and a few comments with those. Or there's still some copies back there, the hard copies, if you want to complete it by hand and put it in that offering box that we have this back there. Okay, any other announcements? Okay, I'm gonna lead us in an offering prayer. You know, we give our offerings each Sunday to help support the ministries of this congregation and those outside of the congregation. And so you can put your offerings in the box in the back, or those of you at home, either mail your offerings to church or drop them off during the week when the church offices are open. Typically, we think of giving when we collect our offerings, but offerings are also meant to be received. So I like this prayer that I found in the Voices Together book. So I'd ask you to bow your heads in prayer as I read this. Jesus of love and leftovers, we struggle with what to share and how much is enough. Sometimes we are the disciples quietly suggesting you send the needy crowds away. Sometimes we are the crowds bringing our only desire to be close to you. When we have little, embolden us to share it. When we have nothing, welcome us to stay and eat. In giving and receiving, we participate in the miracle of enough. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's continue our worship as we sing.
Please take your purple hymnals, Voices Together, and turn to 182. 182, Voices Together hymnal. 182. I'm going to invite you to stand for this hymn this morning. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the blowing seas of breath and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at God's command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with bread. God formed the creatures with a word, and made them as their good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed wherever I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests flow, by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care. There's not a place where we can flee, but God is present there. Amen. You may be seated. God is present with us this morning as we continue in song. Turn to number 30. Number 30, Jesus Calls Us. Jesus calls us here to meet him as through word and song and prayer. We affirm God's promised presence where Christ's people live and dwell. Praise the God who keeps each promise. Praise the Son who calls us friends. Praise the Spirit who among us to our hopes and fears attend. Jesus calls us to confess him word of life and Lord of all, sharer of our flesh and this holy human story, tell that all may hear, tell the world that Christ in glory came to earth to meet us here. Jesus calls us to each other, vastly different though we are. Race and color, class and gender, neither limit nor debar. Join the hand of friend and stranger, join the hands of age and youth, join the faithful and the doubter in the common search for truth. Now turn over to, I'm not sure the number because I don't have a bulletin, Jesus Help Us Live in Peace, number 719, Jesus Help Us Live in Peace. Jesus, help us live in peace. From our blindness, set us free. Fill us with your healing love. Help us live in unity. Many times we disagree, or what's right or wrong to do. It's so hard to really see from the other's point of view. How we long for power and fame, seeking every earthly thing. We forget the one who came as a servant, not a king. First verse again. Jesus, help us live in peace. From our blindness, set us free. Fill us with your healing love. Help us live in you. Amen.
Time for our children's story, and I think Serenity has that for us this morning. So, Serenity and children, come on up.
Okay, yeah, okay. Hi, kiddos. You guys all look so handsome. How are you? And beautiful. today, our pastor is going to talk about being sent. or sending out. And the idea of being sent is like someone believes in you and they're going to send you to go and do something important. That's what we're talking about. So I just have a few things that you might recognize. What is that? Yep, a notebook. What are those? Sharpies. I know, you're so smart. What about these? Markers. And these are the best erasers. Okay, just saying. And what do you think these are for? Yeah, pencils are for drawing. But all these things, what do you think they're for? Art and school. So where do you think I would send you with all of these things? School, yep. How many of you are going to school in or going already gone to school? All four? Okay. And eventually you will also go to school, possibly at least at home or wherever we go to school these days, right? So when your mom or your dad or both of them get you ready for school, what do you kind of do when you're getting ready to go to school? Yes. Sometimes you need to buy school supplies, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's what mommy does. Also, teachers are getting ready to go to school too, huh? Yep. And they buy and they get ready for all kinds of things to teach those kids at school, like you guys. Do you have like a first time round on the bus? You kind of get ready by trying out the bus once? No? Or maybe not? Okay. Do you talk about it at home?
You went to a bus stop?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you went to a bus stop. Yes, it's very exciting. So does the bus come and get you there? No? Okay, you're helping drop somebody off. Yes. So it's kind of a big deal to go to school and to learn about things. So Jesus, that's just a long time ago, when he was teaching about his love and his way of doing things and about his way of thinking and his way of touching and healing and loving, he was teaching a bunch of people really closely, like it was like his little classroom. They were called the apostles. Some people call them the disciples. And there were 12 of them that he picked. And so after he took some time to teach, he said, it's time for you guys to now go and do this on your own. And so it was like he took two and two and two. And he said, go. And what do you think he sent them with? Do you think he sent them with some pencils? Maybe. What do you think? Markers, maybe? Yeah. Well, you know what's really surprising? You know, it's really weird and strange and very surprising and shocking. He said, don't bring anything. He said, don't even bring extra clothes. They were going to go and wander around and talk to people, like in different cities and different counties. And say, go tell people about me and about my love for them and about how wild and wonderful it is. But Jesus believed that the message was so good that people would say, these people have really something great to say and we're going to take care of you. So Jesus not only believed in the people that he had taught for a long time, his disciples, he believed in them. He also believed in the message. And he believed in the people out there, that there would be people that took care of them. So right now, we're sending you out to school, and eventually you too, and you too. And we believe in you, and we believe in all the things that you've been taught to get ready for this point. And we believe in the people out there, that there are people out there who are going to be kind, and they're going to love you, and they're going to teach you all kinds of wonderful things. So, I will send you with a special prayer that I found from one of my favorite authors. And it's kind of long, so that's why I'm only going to share a little bit right now, and then I'm going to send it with each one of you for your parents, okay? This is from a mom that also has kids, and she sent this when her kids went to school. As we head back into classrooms, may you go forth fully convinced of our love and your capacity. May you be the head and not the tail, leading others and yourself on a path of flourishing. May your roots go down deep into God's soil so you will bear the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May you remember your people and where you come from, and find your place or belonging. May you become even more fully who you are always meant to be this year. And I will go on, but I will stop right there. And you have a fantastic school year this year, okay? Okay, you are sent. Oh, and I have something special. Ask your mom and dad if you can have this when you, okay? I know you're not supposed to take your masks off, but we'll let mom and dad decide. These are special snacks that my kids have. Okay. Oh, and here's the prayer. Sorry. So many things to share. Here you go. I think that was it. Oh my gosh, yes, Libby, of course you do. There you go. Okay. All right, guys. Go back to your parents. Oops.
Take your time. I have a number of scriptures that I'll read this morning, and they're ones that should be familiar to you because we've been using them in the last couple of weeks. So the first one is Genesis 12, 1 to 4. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Then the Lord told Abram, "Leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. I will make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families of earth will be blessed through you." So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed him, and Lot went with him. Exodus 3, 1 through 6. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he went deep into the wilderness near Sinai, the mountain of God. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a blazing fire in a bush. Moses was amazed because the bush was engulfed in flames, but it didn't burn up. "Amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go over to see this." When the Lord saw that he had caught Moses' attention, God called him from the bush. "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Don't come any closer," God told him. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he hid his face in his hands because he was afraid to look at God. I wish God would show me a burning bush when he wanted my attention sometimes. The last one is Matthew 4, 18 through 25. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, fishing with a net, for they were commercial fishermen. Jesus called out to them, "Come, be my disciples, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and went with him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in the boat with their father, Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching everywhere the good news about the kingdom. And he healed people who had every kind of sickness and disease. News about him spread far beyond the borders of Galilee, so that the sick were soon coming to be healed as far away as Syria. And whatever their illness and pain, or if they were possessed by demons, or were epileptics, or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went, people from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, and from all over Judea, and from the east of the Jordan River. Steve, would you come?
Lord be with you. Liturgy. It's a fancy word, and in the church I grew up in, we never used it much. I don't get the sense that it's a word many of us would use to describe what we do here on a Sunday morning. We're not a liturgical church, at least not in the high church tradition or where formal robes are used, and there's lots of symbols and things called vestments. Some church traditions or denominations, well, we have a resistance to anything that sounds too liturgical. We might want to avoid liturgy because it sounds too much like empty ritual, like something we do or we recite without understanding the meaning or significance of it. But liturgy is still something we do. Simply translated, liturgy means the work of the people. We come together, there's patterns and habits, formal or informal, to what we do each week. And those patterns reveal who we are, they reveal what we value. Whether we admit it or not, liturgy is something that happens when we're in the habit of meeting together for worship. I think some of us more informal church traditions, we do well to reclaim a sense of liturgy. There have been a few times in my life, in Anne and I's lives, that have been traumatic. Times when tragedy has struck and it becomes impossible to make sense of events and it's difficult to process what we're experiencing. I'm reminded of the fires that started a year ago this weekend. Labor Day 2020, we were floating down the Santiam River with a group of neighbors and we thought the sun had disappeared behind some clouds like it does in the Northwest. The wind shifted and it now came from the east. We couldn't really see the horizon anymore. The next days and weeks were filled with a stillness and anxiety about the weather and when it would change and how many homes were being burned. Last winter, we experienced the ice storm and the resulting mass power outages. Maybe it's not so close to home right now, but last I heard, 700,000 are still without power after Hurricane Ida. And while the Caldor fire has slowed a bit, the Lake Tahoe area is still under a thick cloud of smoke and evacuation orders. It's in times like these that the regular and repetitive things we do and say in worship, the habits that shape our identity, they come to the surface. I'm sure there's times you can think of, times like times when life takes a dramatic shift. Maybe it's a diagnosis, tragic news about a close friend or a family member. There are times when life throws something our way and suddenly we are unmoored. The ship that was once securely anchored, preventing the waves and winds and tide from pushing it about, is now, set adrift on the open ocean, or at least that's how it feels. When I've been right in the middle of unmooring events, it's not a doctrinal statement that reestablishes an anchor point. It's a song, the lyrics of a song or a hymn or an often repeated scripture, a prayer, or a familiar saying that brings me back to a place of relative security. When we find ourselves in that place, it's our worship habits, those things that we regularly repeat and rehearse, the things we know by heart that offer a sense of grounding and stability. Such is the liturgy of the church, formal or informal. When we find ourselves drifting without an anchor, we often remember the songs and liturgy of the church. Because of that, there are no throwaway portions of our worship services, no unnecessary or careless parts of worship. We plan prayerfully and with the support of our faith community. Author and theologian Marva Don puts it this way: only by God's grace and in the context of prayer and the whole Christian community can worship leaders prepare services that present as much truth as possible. Later this morning, we're going to do some liturgy, or rather keep doing liturgy, because we've been doing it up to this point. Might just not use that word. It might feel a bit more formal when we get there, and that's okay. There's significance in the words that we will say together. In time, perhaps words like the ones we speak may become the kind of words that come to mind in troubled times. We're at the final Sunday of our series on worship, so let's do a brief recap of the three previous Sundays. All of these are based on the biblical principle that worship is a conversation. It's a conversation initiated by God, and we are invited to respond. First, God calls, so we gather together. In this place, we gather together online. Second, God speaks, so we listen and respond. Third, God restores. We thankfully receive restoration. And finally, this morning's topic, God sends, so we go. We've traced this fourfold pattern throughout the same scripture passages each week. So let's jump in again with that same text, those same texts, and those same stories. Genesis. This one's fairly obvious because God gets right to the point with Abram. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your land, your family, and your father's household for the land that I will show you." Then, in verse 4, Abram left, just as the Lord told him. God sent, Abram went. All of this would become part of the covenant with Abram and Sarai. As I mentioned last week, Abram and Sarai were given new names by God. They would be known as Abraham and Sarah, and all of the families of the world would be blessed through them. God's sending is the word God speaks, and Abram left just as the Lord had told him. God sends, Abram and Sarai went. What about Exodus? In this interaction between God and Moses, the sending happens in chapter 3, verse 10. "So get going. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." God has something to accomplish, and God is sending Moses to make that happen. What about the 12 from Matthew's account of the gospel? This one comes a while later, and then a while later on again in Matthew. This is because Jesus does a fair bit of teaching and instruction before sending them out. But it does indeed come. One example is in Matthew 10. It says, He called his 12 disciples and gave them the authority over unclean spirits to throw them out and to heal every disease and sickness. Jesus sent these 12 out. Okay, pretty clear sending. Now, for a bit of self-disclosure and honesty, during my sermon prep this week, I found myself looking for some new or profound insight to share about the dimensions of our sending. I'd look through books on my shelf, hoping one would jump out. After my search continually turned up empty, I was gently reminded of how in this new role that includes regularly preaching, I do well to resist the desire to make things novel, to make things seem more complicated than they really are. God sends, and so we go. I do well to avoid the tendency to find, or perhaps even manufacture in times of weakness, an intricate bit of information that might impress because of my new or profound insight. I'm gonna have to pay attention to that. So for today, why complicate things? God sends, so we go. It really is that simple and uncomplicated. Sometimes we wish there was a burning bush. And yet, in the everyday places that we are being sent by God. But with ascending, there are a few takeaways for us to consider. First, worship is a way of life. In Romans 12, Paul writes, "So brothers and sisters, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate priestly service," or other translations say, act of worship. Paul teaches that worship is a way of life. Rather than worship ending at the door of the church or ending with the church service, worship continues into every aspect of our lives. Our home, our work, our school, even our play. God is sending us from this place. And in that sending, our worship continues as we leave. Worship is a way of life. Two, God considers us worthy. We are, or will be, in a few minutes when we leave, sent by God. Just like Abram, Sarai, Moses, and the 12, we have been restored by God. And we are being sent to carry on God's work of restoration in the world. We are to be God's hands and feet at work in the world. That means God considers us worthy. We can. We are able to continue the work God has done and is doing in our world. God considers us, considers you and me, both capable and worthy to join God in mending the broken pieces of our world. By how you love others, by how we love others, through the power of God's Spirit, the world is becoming a better place. In our ascending, God considers us worthy. And third, you have the name of God put upon you. Let me read from perhaps the most well-known sending and blessing or benediction in Scripture. It's in Numbers 6, 24 and 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons," and Aaron and his sons were the priestly tribe within Israel, "you will bless the Israelites as follows." The conclusion of worship, this is what all of the priests are supposed to say to the Israelites. Say to them, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and grant you peace. they will place my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. This was the blessing again. Aaron and his sons and the priests of Israel were to regularly remind the Israelites of. The people of God have been blessed and blessed with God's name. God changed the names of Abram and Sarai to Abraham and Sarah. In the covenant, the of Yahweh, the Yah of Ruah, which is the breath of God hovering over the water in creation, they were now incorporated by God into Abram and Sarai. They would be known as Abraham and Sarah. And all the families of the world would be blessed through them. Abraham and Sarah had the name of God put upon them. Moses makes an excuse to God about going to Pharaoh, and Moses says, if I now come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they're going to ask me, what's this God's name? What am I supposed to say to them? Now, this only makes sense because there were so many gods in Egypt and so many religions. So the Israelites would want to know which one was coming to rescue them. God said to Moses, I am who I am. So say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God continued, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac's God, Jacob's God, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how all generations will remember me. Moses was given the name as he went, the name of God, the great I am. The 12 disciples, as they were sent out, they were given authority to do miracles by Jesus. That authority comes in and by the name of Jesus. In Matthew 28, there's this passage considered the Great Commission, kind of important when we think about sending. Jesus says, I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you until every day, until the end of this present age. The disciples were sent. They were commissioned. They went with God's name upon them. As we are sent by God, we are sent with God's blessing. Like Sarah, Abraham, Moses, the 12, and so many others, the name of God is upon us as we are sent. So, as you go later this morning and every Sunday, you go about your week, living lives of worship. Know that God considers you worthy to partner with God, and know that you go with the name of God upon you. So, God calls, we come. God speaks, we listen and respond. God restores, we receive restoration. God sends, we go. We spent the last month walking through this pattern of worship and in many ways experiencing this pattern of worship together. We've been doing God's story together. That's what worship is. It does God's story. This morning, we've been called by God to worship. So again, we've gathered together in the various ways that we can, in person and online. God has spoken to us, and in a few minutes, we will be sent by God. But now, before we are sent, we get to participate in my favorite part of worship. We're going to receive the restoration that God brings through Jesus Christ by celebrating communion together. If you're a believer at home and here in person, you're invited to gather around the table of the Lord and celebrate with us. If you haven't yet picked up elements, they're on the table in the back, and you're welcome to pick those up now. As I remind folks to do that, I'm going to go get mine. As we get more comfortable with the new hymnals and this liturgy, it'll come a bit more natural, but for the time being, I'll walk us through the readings together. We're going to start in voices together with 936. There's a tendency for these to be words on a page, and as we worship, I want to invite you to perhaps stop and listen to the words that are being said around you, or just pay renewed attention to these words that we say together, so that it wouldn't just be words on a page. Once we get there, if it's something in bold, you take care of that part, and I'll take care of the rest. At the table of Christ, we eat this bread and drink this cup. To remember the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, to be united with Christ and with one another as the church, and to look toward a time when all will be one. As we eat and drink with thanksgiving, Jesus Christ is present with us. And we are empowered by the Spirit to follow Jesus' way of love as the body of Christ, broken and blessed for the life of the world. And now 937. Friends, as we gather to eat the bread and drink the cup, let us respond with a pledge of love. Will you love God before all things in the power of God's living word, and join yourself to God's way? Will you love and serve our neighbors and lay down your life through the power of Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us? Will you support and challenge one another, speak and hear the truth, cease what causes harm to our neighbors, and do good to our enemies? May the Spirit of God, who calls the church to Christ's supper, give us the grace, strength, and patience to live this pledge of love. Let's continue on 938. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new spirit within me. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Friends, the old life has gone, a new life has begun. In the name of Jesus, we are forgiven, loved, and free. We are restored. Let's move to 944, just one page over. May God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. It is a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Holy One, and all with all your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in your name. Hosanna in the highest. And so we proclaim this mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We praise you, all holy God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Amen. And we'll do the Lord's Prayer, if you need a reference, 989A. That's what we'll use. Then we'll flip back to the page we were just on. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. This would be the point when we would get up, and I would invite you to share the peace of Christ with one another. Talked about that last week, that there's a sense of shalom. This isn't just peace in the lack of conflict, but this is a wholeness that exists in our relationships with each other. I also read from the passage where Paul talks about us taking the bread and the cup unworthily, that we stop and leave our place of worship and go be reconciled with those around. So in the midst of all things that they are with COVID and the pandemic, I want to invite you to stand if you need to make eye contact with someone or just with those around close by. Share the peace of Christ. And it's really simple. It just goes, peace be with you. And then you respond with also with you. So go ahead. Stand and share the peace of Christ with one another. Let's stay standing together, but if possible, reference your hymnals. We're now at 9:45, and this will be the last part in just a minute. Let's share the bread and the cup together. So, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "When you share bread together, remember me." Take and eat. Likewise, Jesus took the cup. I don't think he pulled back the foil on top of it, but he still took the cup. And after supper, he said, "This cup is the new covenant. When you drink it together, remember me. Take and drink." Let's conclude this time by praying together. 9:45 out of the hymnal. In peace, let us pray. O God, we give you thanks for uniting us as the body of Christ and for filling us with joy at this table. Lead us toward the unity of your church and help us treasure signs of reconciliation. Now that we have tasted the banquet you have prepared for us, may we one day feast together in your heavenly city. Through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Thank you for celebrating communion with me. You may be seated.
Please turn to 812 for our benediction song, 812. And let's stand together to sing Sent Forth by God's Blessing. Sent forth by God's blessing, our true faith confessing, the people of God from this dwelling take place. The supper is ended, oh, now be extended the fruits of this service in all who believe. The seed of Christ's teaching, receptive souls reaching, shall blossom in action for God and for all. Your grace did invite us, your love shall unite us, the work for your reign and to answer your call. With praise and thanksgiving to God ever living, the tasks of every day life we will face, our faith ever sharing, the love ever caring, embracing the children of each tribe and race. With your feast you feed us, with the light now lead us, unite us as one in this life that we share. Then may all the living with praise and thanksgiving give honor to Christ and his name that we bear.
So I had chosen a benediction for today. It's the same one that Steve shared in his sermon, so it must be worthy to be read again. So from Numbers 6, 24 to 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.